Marty, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I am here for certain, and it is not, there's no hail coming down. There's no, I'm not hiding in the basement. It's just, okay. I mean,
you guys were, you guys up in Ellettsville were, and I say up in, it's northwest of downtown Bloomington, for those of you who are new to the program. You were all over the weather. From Indianapolis, boy, they had streets and all kinds of, they had grids and, oh geez, and there's the purple stuff. How did everybody do in your neck of the woods in Monroe County?
Well, I went to the lower level, took my puppy dog, went into a room where I could shut the door so that, you know, so there was no windows in that room.
Smart.
But you know what, that may be, but that's sort of a, I didn't grab any of those battery-operated candles. I thought, well, if the lights go out, I will be in here. It'll be so dark, I will be scared to death. But, you know, once you've done all you can do to be reasonably as safe as you can be, then you just have to leave it alone because there's nothing else you can do. And so my neighbor and I were texting back and forth. How's it going over there? The hail's coming down really hard. But it was really by the next morning, and you could look out, and I didn't even see any trees down around here or whatever. So,
yeah, thankfully that doesn't happen every time. Boy, but it sure seems like it has recently. The power's been out or trees have been down. This was kind of just an old-fashioned thunderstorm, and, boy, it was no one missed this one.
Well, I mean, hail was coming down. I expect we're going to see a lot of hail damage here or there. I did have my have somebody come today to check at my roof just to make sure, and I've got to have supposed to have two different groups come and take a look at it. So that I will do. But at any rate, we survived it, and so I'm not sure that how the alarms went.
In my neck of the woods, it popped on right at 9:30 when the tornado warning hit, and it ran for 5 minutes. So I'm just a couple hundred yards from Bachelor Middle School. It was loud and clear on the south side. And, yep, same ting, 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 ting. Can hear that hail bouncing off everything. And make sure that you use a reputable fixer, because we know that, sadly, these times and days, people will try to, rip people off, for lack of a better term. So be safe and be smart. And, Marty, this thing kind of popped up out of nowhere. Now, we were following it all afternoon, and it was here and it was there. Then it stopped and it was gone. Then it popped back up. So I think that's the lesson to be learned out of this. You just can't hear the weather at 3 o'clock and say, well, that's good for the rest of the day.
No, you sure can't. And we've had a really strange weather for the last few months, so I think we're ready for something to just calm down and just be normal. So while you said it's going to be boring, I'll be bored when it comes to that.
I
normally hate being bored, but that's one I could, I used to always say, look, I don't care what somebody else does, just don't bore me to tears. So, but this time I'm ready to be bored when it comes to the weather.
Let's just be happy we're not Phoenix, where it's been 110 or whatever for however many days in a row. That's unbelievable. So, yeah, somebody's always got it worse. But we are busy. We are always busy on Wednesday. Commissioners, county council, we've got all kinds of things to get to. Take it away.
Right. Well, I would say, if you looked at the agenda for the county commissioners, that the part that was really threw me for a loop when they were talking about some of the areas that they were going to do some work at the jail, and one was because they had to do something with all the dander and dead mice and whatever was in where they were trying to put in some wiring. I'm thinking, no wonder that jail had such an odor if they had that kind of, it was evidently pretty rank. I mean, I don't know how long this is going to go on, but I am so glad that when the people come and say, we need this done or that done at the jail, that we're all on board, we're going to do it. We've just got to get things fixed. The other thing that they talked about at the work session was another contract with a group that's going to come in and do more work on the roof of the jail, trying to reroute that water that's coming in into the jail, and so they're hoping that they're going to get somebody who's going to be able to start working on that right away, and so hopefully that will happen, because you have a flat roof and you've got something where it's going to leak down into your building. It's just not going to get any better until you rerouted that water someplace. So I was glad to see that happen. The big thing was they did do the appointments for the CIB board. Did you see that?
I did not.
It was John Weikart. And you know what? And I'm trying to look that up, but I think it was Joyce Poling.
Well, those are two very familiar names who have been around
right.
a lot of stuff in their careers. So they're putting experience on that board, correct?
Right. Well, of course, Joyce has been involved with supporting our convention center from the get-go. And so I was happy to see that she would be involved, and then also that, of course, John Weikart should really be, up to date on it and be very concerned about it, as you know. So that they will have a little bit of headway there to get a hold, to understand exactly how we got to where we're at. But anyway, I'm happy to see that happen. I'm trying to think of some other news, because I did spend a lot of time trying to find somebody to come and take a look at the roof, so I got a little behind there. But I do know that the thing that we will be talking about very soon, I would think, would be the whole rural transit situation.
Because, I did see that, yes.
Well, it appears that for years, rural transit was allowed to go ahead and use their services in areas that now they're saying no, that's urban areas, and I guess it's tied to population or something, not just to boundaries of a city or whatever. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with that, because just because they lose, rural transit loses dollars because they'll no longer be able to work with the Stonebelt services. They would love to do it, of course, but they're not going to be allowed to do it because it's in areas that they're not going to be allowed to serve. Well, that's a loss of contract. I think it says $60,000, and it would be, I think, unfair to ask the taxpayers of the county to just subsidize that $60,000, because it isn't like if we're getting a service for it. I don't know what the answer is going to be, but if they're not going to be able to provide the service there in the Ellisville area and all these other urban areas, including a lot of Van Buren or wherever, then I don't know that those taxpayers should subsidize that rural transit to assist for other counties. So that I'm anxious to hear what the outcome is going to be.
Well, who leads that outcome, Marty? Where is that decision going to come through? Is that the city council, the county council, or?
Well, if they come to ask us for an additional appropriation for something, I suppose that will be something we would have to look at. I did ask. Well, they've met with us a couple of times, and you'd want to help them. They've been really good partners to help with the transportation. But as of January 1, they're not going to be allowed to do many of those things that they've done in the past, including all of our senior citizens who live in the Ellisville area. So I did talk with somebody from the Ellisville area council and spoke with them earlier today, and they said they've not been contacted in an official capacity by rural transit. So, you know, but of course they're concerned, as well as everybody. Then I called one of the trustees' office, and I said, how is it that you assist, or are you able to? And the response was that they can provide a pass. Right now they provide passes for the people who are not able to drive or do not have a car, for them to come to meet with at the trustee's office back and forth, and say they can give them a card to go back and forth to meet at the trustee's office. But I asked the question, could you also perhaps, up until January 1, of course they won't be able to, but I wondered if that same situation, if they could provide the card for transportation maybe to a doctor's office or something, to use rural transit. And I don't know the answer to that. I guess nobody had ever asked that question. But I just have to say that everybody who's relied on that transportation over all these years, no one ever thought it was actually going to be gone. But now it's going to be up to Bloomington Transit. If the city council agrees to allow Bloomington Transit to do this, then it would take an interlocal agreement, it appears, they're saying, that from the city, perhaps the city to Ellettsville. Maybe there would have to be an interlocal agreement with them, or maybe an interlocal agreement with the county for them to come out. And, you know, when they say interlocal agreement, that means dollars would have to be put with that, because the amount that they charge the riders to use Bloomington Transit doesn't begin to cover the actual cost.
Well, that's what I was going to. Yeah, I was going to ask you if there's not that many people using it. How? That is a tough one, because it's. And I guess the question that the listener would probably have, Marty, is why is it ending? What is the big change here? Is this an old? What is being enforced now that will not happen on January 1st?
Well, it was tied to what is called urban, and I'm not looking at the information right now, but it was tied to how many of the population that appeared, so that there's a huge swath that is considered urban, and so because of the way that they are funded, rural transit is funded with these other dollars coming from the federal government. So that, and maybe it comes from federal to the state and then on to rural transit. But it's not local dollars to begin with.
So they want to make sure that you're using them in the proper way if they're sending them to you. I can see where that...
If they're just saying, you know, you do not qualify, rural transit, you don't qualify to be able to provide services in the urban areas. Just can't do it.
Yeah, okay. I follow along. Now, the interlocal agreements, though, Marty, the city and county and whoever else, you guys do these all the time, correct?
Well, right, but not... generally speaking, when you do an interlocal agreement, would depend on what kind of services you're expecting to get. So, whether or not, it would seem to me that Bloomington Transit, if they're going to do an interlocal agreement to service the Ellettsville in town, then it would, that if there's a dollar amount tied to it, that would have to come from Ellettsville coffers. And if they do one with the county, it would have to come from the county coffers. Now, remember, to begin with, remember when they were trying to work out an agreement saying that they wanted to use dollars for transportation, and it was a few months ago, and they wanted to do an interlocal agreement to just go up, like, to Ivy Tech and so forth.
Yeah, extending those routes or something like that. Right, that's kind of that's what I was thinking about. But, so, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, they certainly cannot do it for free. So then you wonder, where will the dollars come from? Now, once again, my concern is people will start saying, well, you can take it out of that edit. Remember, we've got this new dollars coming in for that economic development income tax that the city put in place, this additional tax that they put in place. This county's receiving a lot of additional money. Well, the county had said, many of us had said, we'll count that as dollars that when we build this jail, we can bond to build the jail, and we will tie that bond to being paid for with this edit money. It would be a revenue that to pay off the bond. Well, if we start spending down that edit money on this, that, and the other thing, how's that bond going to get paid for? Is that going to be an additional tax on the people of the county? So I think this county council has a lot of issues ahead of us that we really don't know. I think I might have suggested to you the last time we talked that if we lower the rate that it's going, that it's bringing in more money than is needed for services for juveniles, that what we call the juvenile income tax. It's a special purpose tax. And then switch that over into an income tax so that it would not be an additional tax on anybody. We're just switching the money over into another form so that we could then hopefully provide those salaries and continue being able to pay that big increase in salaries that we put in place for our law enforcement, for the sheriff's department, and for the jail, because we knew when we were doing that we were going to count on the growth of the income tax and other taxes to be able to continue at that higher increase in those salaries. So what else are we going to have to do? It is, and right now, of course, is the time that people are going to be starting to look very closely at all those budget preparations for next year. We have to do that now, but we're also looking at that court case having to do with the annexation. We won't know exactly what's going to happen with that for a while. Are we having fun yet?
Well, that's why I talk to you every Wednesday, because if we put this off for a month, imagine how long it would take for us to go back and put all these pieces together. Where is the council on your calendar, Marty? Are you guys meeting, not meeting, get back next month? Where are we there?
Okay, we're meeting now. Oh, no, we meet all the time. But we'll be meeting in our work session for the coming up on Tuesday, but they're talking about a lot of different job descriptions, et cetera, to be decided. And there's different departments that are trying to maneuver around and get things adjusted before we actually go into the budget hearings. And actually, we are supposed to be meeting the personnel committee meeting, going over new job descriptions and everything, and having that in place, so that it would be for the following year. It's not supposed to be for this year. It's supposed to be so that we can look at the budget and include it in our budget for the following year. So that is what I believe is what we will do, is what we should do, but we should be looking at all of the requests in one package to see which are the ones we can afford to do or not do and move on from there, and not just do it one at a time, and then pretty soon you've done more than what you should have done. But it's an interesting time, and of course it's a time right now when we've had that really, like, the legal department wants an extension of this in a local agreement for the county trustee to provide COVID support. Well, we've had some township trustees that says, I'm not going to do that anymore. Because they're accustomed to, they have rules about how they can provide services and extra dollars. And in conversation with one of the trustees, he has just indicated he's not doing this anymore because it's not tied to the rules that they're supposed to be using. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, we will. And thankfully, you're with us every Wednesday, Marty, and we'll make sure we get everything covered. and ready to go. And, let's see, 2 weeks from today, MCCSC is back. 3 weeks from today, RBB is back. They got $40 million. They got big plans out there.
Right. And I didn't know whether you would have time to talk about that. I did speak a bit with some of the folks from Richland Bean Blossom school system and questioning them about the article in the paper saying that would not be an increase in taxes, and so I'm wondering if they meant to say it wouldn't be an increase in the rate. Now, we know if they keep the rate the same and everybody's assessed values, of course, have gone through the roof, that same rate times that much higher assessed value is going to just continue to escalate the taxes. So my request of them was make sure that when they made a statement to the press or to others, that they made it clear that that they understand that if they keep the rate the same, that they are actually indeed raising taxes. Now, there are those who have indicated, supporting the school system, saying, well, if we don't get it, somebody else would. And I just think that's the strangest thing to say. It's like, I better grab all I can get because somebody else might beat us to it. Not a very nice thing to say, I wouldn't think. However, we many of us know that people move over here because they love our school system, and they love what goes on in our schools, the buildings and the teachers and so forth. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands exactly how it works, and it really is not the town of Ellisville that's raising their taxes so high. It really is. It just like any place in the county, it's your school tax that is the biggest tax that we pay. And of course, if we didn't have good schools, no one would want to live, not just in Ellisville, they wouldn't want to live in Monroe County, period, because we all want good schools.
Absolutely. We're looked to have Dr. Jerry Sanders with us either coming up Monday or the final Monday of July, and we'll have him make the case for the RBB. And, yep, they're growing. Everybody's growing over there, Marty. So busy times ahead, absolutely. Hopefully, by the next time we talk on Wednesday, we're not talking about hail damage again. I hope everything's good on your end. And we'll get caught up on the final Wednesday of July, 1 week from today.
Okay, great. Thank you.